reading through Mark's gospel, we have a very short and pointed story of Jesus' ministry that falls right smack in the middle of Mark's gospel. So hear this portion of God's word to all of us. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Take heart, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has made you well." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. So I remember this past week that it was some years ago, maybe about 19 or 20 now, I got a surprise visit from a man I barely knew. He was a retired corporate executive from a big-name company who had just moved to the town where I served as pastor down in Hendersonville, North Carolina. I had only met him once before as he visited the church for the first time, and then we'd only spoken with each other for a few minutes at the door before other people converged on him. This time, he was sitting in the corner of my office, sort of fiddling with his fingernails and gently holding a homemade cassette tape. Remember, this was a few years ago. Remember them? I was guessing that small talk wasn't what he had in mind. He broke the ice. "I've come to see you because there's no one else that I can tell. I want to change my life and become a Christian. You don't know me, but this is what you have to hear. Last night, I got up in the middle of the night and made this tape, and it says what I want to say. And I want to leave it with you because there's no one else that I can give it to." Now, I think that this man really began to believe the moment that he gave me that tape. Sometimes it takes an intentional act. Of course, there were probably years of wrestling and who knows how many sleepless nights spent pacing around his home. But in the end, he just went to the one pastor he knew, handed over the tape, and that was that. Looking back, I think that moment was the closest I've come to meeting Bartimaeus. Now, as brief as his tale is, Bartimaeus is really one of the most significant characters in this gospel. And this, in fact, is the hinge story in Mark's gospel. The gospel itself is really divided into halves. The first half is set in Galilee, where Jesus heals people, calls his disciples, teaches in parables, and gets into trouble with the authorities. The story of Bartimaeus is really the climax of the first half of the story. The second half of the Gospel of Mark then sets all the scenes in Jerusalem. There, Jesus faces controversy, his identity is revealed, and he's led to crucifixion. So to understand what Bartimaeus is about, you need to go back in the gospel story and get an understanding of the method in how Mark puts all of this together. A way to begin to understand Bartimaeus' story is through, in fact, the parable of the sower that Jesus presents in Mark chapter 4. Now, you remember how Jesus talks about four kinds of earth: the path, the rocky ground, the thistles, and the good soil. The first half of Mark's gospel really illustrates these four kinds of discipleship. Some seeds fall on the hard path, referring to those who reject Jesus outright: the Roman authorities, the scribes, the Pharisees. Some seed falls on stony ground. This is the disciples, especially Peter, James, and John, who accept the word immediately, but wither in the face of trial and persecution. Some seed falls among thorns. These include King Herod, who takes to Jesus at first, but is mired in a network of unsavory associations. And then there is the good soil. This refers to those who hear and accept the word and produce plentiful fruit. There aren't a lot of examples of these people in Mark's gospel, but Bartimaeus is surely one of them. One of the central themes of Mark's gospel is that the first become last and the last become first. This surely applies to blind Bartimaeus, and it might also apply to us too. So I think it's helpful for us to get to know Bartimaeus a little bit better this morning, that we might learn something from him. The name Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus, and Timaeus is a word that means one who has been given something, one who has had something bestowed on them. Now, the name really doesn't mean much to us, but to a lot of ancient people who were in the know, Timaeus might have meant a whole lot more. One of Plato's most famous works was called The Timaeus. Did you know that? I didn't, but I found that out. We don't often think about this, but Jesus might well have known the works of Plato and Aristotle too, the most famous thinkers in the world 400 years before him. Their work still carried a lot of weight in popular thought and stories and imagination. So you might be able to say that, speaking both literally and metaphorically, Bartimaeus' eyes are opened for the first time to a new life following Jesus, as opposed to his previous lifestyle, blind in whatever way that might have been. So it first goes like this. In Plato's dialogue, Timaeus reflects upon the gift of sight, that humans were given the innate wisdom to discern the purposes of the entire universe distinctly apart from the goodness and mercy of a creator God. Much like the notion of a watchmaker God conceived by Isaac Newton centuries later, perhaps Bartimaeus first saw the world as a mean and merciless place set in motion by an unseen mover where only the strongest survive. Or perhaps he was taken in by the notion of the invisible hand of market forces of later economists like Adam Smith. Thus understood, the world was made just so and was set in order regardless of the actual disorder that existed everywhere. Bartimaeus was blind, at least insofar as seeing life as Jesus saw it. Now, whether Bartimaeus was actually physically blind or morally and ethically blind is an open question that I think we can legitimately ask. What we know for sure is Bartimaeus' reaction when he hears that Jesus is coming his way. First, he shouts, "Jesus, Bar David, have mercy on me." Jesus' reputation obviously precedes him. The disciples seem to have dismissed Bartimaeus, but not Jesus. "Son of David," he says again, "have mercy on me." This time, Jesus stops. Then he asks his disciples to address this man. "On your feet, this is your lucky day. Jesus will see you." What Bartimaeus does next is significant any way you look at it. He throws off his cloak, rises up, and then walks toward Jesus. Some say that the key to really understanding the story of Bartimaeus lies in his cloak. His cloak is the one thing that he owns. It is his source of protection from dirt, wind, rain, cold. And it's his source of income, too, like a street musician's open guitar case. So this is the crisis of the story. Bartimaeus has one thing, and he wants one thing. He has a cloak, and he wants to see. How much does he want to see? Enough to part with this cloak? Absolutely. He leaps to his feet and hurls away his cloak. He parts with the one thing that he has in order to receive the one thing that he might see. And Jesus stands still as if to emphasize the timelessness of this moment. And he asks Bartimaeus the definitive question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus has no hesitation. He knows exactly what he wants. "Teacher, let me see." Now, the rest of Mark's gospel gives us plenty of examples of people who, unlike Bartimaeus, can't bring themselves to shed their cloak. Now, whether this is coded language of Bartimaeus throwing off the philosopher's cloak as he comes to Jesus, or whether it was really the tattered rag of his only earthly possession, Bartimaeus has entered into the way of discipleship. This way involves more than just ideas and reason. Bartimaeus' eyes are open to the jarring practical truth of Jesus for the very first time. Now, I've been left wondering what it was that Bartimaeus found in the presence of Jesus that made him believe. What was the straw that broke the back of Bartimaeus' blindness? I think, in the end, what finally gave Bartimaeus the power to see was simply Jesus' presence. Jesus was there, available. And it's really left me thinking what each of us would do if we found ourselves in Jesus' presence, really. I think we would be all drawn to move toward Jesus, just as Bartimaeus did. Just think about what else could you possibly do but move closer and closer to Jesus? And just as likely, Jesus would ask you the same question that he asked Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? What might that be for you? Now, salvation is not a self-help program, but even so, I think there's some things that we can do or say that make it possible for us to receive salvation, true healing, as a gift, and with it, the gift and the understanding of what God's free grace means to all of us. Bartimaeus knew that there was nothing that he could do to earn or deserve anything. When he hears that Jesus is passing by, he utters the perfect plea, the perfect prayer that Christians have been whispering for centuries. Have mercy on me. Now, to go back to the story that I started with, after this chief executive left my office all those years ago, I found myself with an audio cassette in my hand. And I made my way to my little tape player, and I put it in, closed the door, pushed the button, and I heard on the sound of the tape the sound of my visitor friend clearing his throat in a rather self-conscious way. Then there was a long silence. Then he cleared his throat again. And then, to my astonishment, I heard this distinguished man begin to sing a simple song. And this is all that there was on the tape. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. So may we also follow. Amen.